Well, now we're starting to look at the readings. This is the 29th Sunday in the year. It'll be up, you know, well, the readings are for the 20th of October. And so we're doing that now. Now, the theme is the power of prayer, as you'll see. And what does that mean? The power of prayer. It means that if we turn with a pure heart and with reverence and love to God, He will hear us. Now we have to persevere. As our Lord says in the delightful parable we have today about the widow and the unjust judge. And so when we get there, we'll consider it. First, we have to look at this text in Exodus, which is a famous text as well. It's Exodus 17, 8 to 13. And it begins then. And Amalek came and waged war against Israel in Rephidim. All we know about Amalek is that they're a tribe that hates Israel. We don't know exactly who they are, where they came from, but they show up like this. And Rephidim, that's a plain on the way out of Egypt into the Promised Land. So Moses said to Joshua, because Amalek is coming out to war with Israel as they're marching through the desert, choose some men for us, and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Okay. So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of the hill. As long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. The power of prayer, you see. So finally, Moses says, look, Moses' hands grew tired. So they took a rock, put it under him, and he sat on it. And then Moses and Aaron supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword, which is pretty flat. The text really says that he cut them down with the mouth of the sword. I don't think they even use that word, do they? No. Hebrew is a lot more colorful than English. Maybe sometimes we could allow, but it'd be a bit extraordinary in English. Cut them with the mouth of the sword. Swords have mouths. They kill people. Okay. So that's the story. Now, what is this? This is a story of intercession, a story of a battle. Now, this is very important. You know, when Saint Therese entered the Carmel, her main goal was to intercede for the world. And as her life went on, and she was beset with darkness, even though in the depth of her spirit, but her whole being, there's no God. I'm going to die. They're going to put a hole in the ground, and that's that. Lord, I know that that's not it. I cling to the truth in the very tip of my soul, and I pray. And this is my own little expression, but she turned out to be the patron saint of atheists. They're tortured people, you know. Their whole being is turned upside down because we're not made not to relate to God. But some people need a lot of help. They have to hear good arguments. They have to have friends. They have to be led to meet God in some way or other. While they wander in emptiness and fear and usually anger. And so, you see, our job, we're involved in this war too, you know. And our job is to intercede every day. Our Lady has asked for a rosary a day for peace. Well, why peace? Because men are not at peace. They hate and fear one another, and they want one another's goods, and they're going to kill to get them. And peace is the opposite. A peaceful man is one who trusts God. That's why many times, poor people, they don't have much, but they trust God, and they're at peace. And rich people with millions are still worrying about money, and they're not at peace. Because that's a perversion. You know, a guy with $5 or $6 million in the bank, worrying. And a guy with $35 in the bank, not worrying at all. It's perverse. And so, interceding is very important. When we're dealing with interceding for people, you see, or for events, you know, our Lord said, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The activity of the mourner is prayer, intercessory prayer, mourning over the trap, the darkness, the grip that evil has on people, including ourselves, and praying that this be lifted. Well, if we lift our spiritual hands, at least, then God will always defeat Amalek. And people will know and come to know the living God. I'm very interested when I get to heaven to find out, you know, when I was a teenager and decided I'm going to go this way, I mean, with the Lord and all that, somebody was praying for me. I know one person was, my dear Aunt Mary. You know, sure, my mother and father, but dear Aunt Mary, she was remorseless. She never gave up praying. She had the Stations of the Cross on a little plaque, and she said them every day for me. Like, this is interesting. So, and at the 14th station, I really pray for you. I thought, gee, I got to tell her name. Look, 14th station is when they bury Jesus. I mean, you know, think of another station. Maybe. So one day, just as I was thinking that, the Lord had her go on and say, and so, when Jesus is put in the tomb and then rises from the tomb and goes to heaven, that's when I pray for you. So, see, the Lord teaches people theology. And she was a mystic in her own way. So anyhow, you see, Moses is interceding. And the lesson we get is, don't get tired. If you don't have a couple of fellas around, Aaron and her, you know, just pray anyway. Get tired. Say, Lord, I'm tired. If it's killing you to kneel, well, sit. But don't quit. It's very popular, very good to get an hour's prayer a day. Just 1 hour, 60 minutes, bing, bing. I don't have time. I know you've got time. I know you've got time. I'll tell you a story. There was a guy, I heard about this, and he was talking to a friend, and the friend, a very busy man, still young in his 30s, and a vice president at IBM, so you know he's got drive, brains, and so forth. You know, he's a confident fellow. And so his friend said, pray, and he said, I don't have any time for prayer. The friend said, do me a favor, give me 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes a day, start. He said, all right, I'll try that. About 6 months later, the friend saw him again. He said, well, how you doing? The guy said with a big smile on his face, I'm praying an hour a day. He said, I thought you didn't have the time. And he said, it got to be a hunger. You see how God can win us over? It got to be a hunger. And he continued that all of his active life in business. Now he's probably praying a lot more. It got to be hunger. God can do that for us. When we're with God, we hunger for God. And when we hunger for God, we pray. And we talk to Him. And we intercede with Him. He wants people to come and ask Him to change. And as you know, in the world we're living in now, my Lord, besides all the stuff at the bottom of the cesspool where we are, you know, there's so much evil, so much suffering. And here we are, you know, I think of this a lot. All this time to study Scripture and share it. my goodness, I've got to intercede. I've got to intercede. And so you can do it. Make a little list out, you know, your relatives, your friends, the world, peace. And then pray. And one thing that Our Lady has said over and over again, say the rosary for peace. It's not that hard. And you can say it. You know, if you drive it in your car, you can get it on a CD, the rosary, stick it in and pray it along with them. It's a desperation move, but it's better than not doing it. And so this, the beginning of this now is this notion of intercessory prayer. And then the gospel is going to be on being persevering in prayer. And the parable that our Lord tells, while it's amusing, this is God telling us how to pray. Bother us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Talk to us. Bother us. We'll get so tired of hearing you, we'll finally hear and listen to you. You know? Who but the Lord would be so daring? And now, just a few moments on the psalm, you see? This is a psalm. It's what they call the Shir Ma'alot, the song, one of the songs of the ascents. Probably means this pilgrim psalms that they sang as they made their way up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's on a hill, and the temple is on a hill on a hill. And so, a song of ascents, you see? I raise my eyes toward the mountains, from whence shall come my help? Now, there, if this was done, you know, antiphonally, one side, you know, two lines of pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem. When shall come my help? The other side says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's the one who's going to help me, the master of the whole universe. He will not allow your foot to slip or your guardian to sleep. Now, what they meant by guardian in this psalm, we don't know. But we know it's a guardian angel. Behold, the guardian of Israel, and that is an angel. That's just presumed. You can read it in the book of Daniel, for instance. The guardian of Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. For the Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. By day the sun will not strike you, nor the moon by night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your coming and going both now and forever. If you're praying, if you're lifting up your heart and your mind to God, you see, He's guarding you on the right hand and on the left. He's taking care of you. And that's this notion of prayer. You know, just take the Psalms along with you. You can get a little pocket edition of the Psalms, pretty good translation, and just look at them. They're a great school of prayer. One of these days, when I finish this kind of preparing for the liturgy, I'm going to do a commentary on all the Psalms. If I live that long, I'll finish the whole 150. It would be great. All right, we'll finish with that now.